Turning God's Word again to the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, the final chapter here in this book, Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Again, we read from verse 1, and we'll just read down here to verse 4, the opening four verses here in this chapter. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 1. O that thou wert as my brother that sucked the breasts of my mother, when I should find thee without, I would kiss thee. Yea, I should not be despised. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up nor awake my love until he please. Amen. Let's ask now for God's help as we come to the preaching of his truth today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the reading of thy word. We thank you, Lord, even as we gather in thy name, we come to meet around your own precious truth. We're not coming to consider the thoughts of a man. We're not coming to consider some idea dreamed up by some philosopher. But Lord, we're coming to the very word of the living God. And we pray, O God, that would speak to every heart today. Give us help in the preaching of thy truth. We're conscious, O God, of how we need your help. We need your help to rightly divide the word of truth. Think of how the apostle Paul told Timothy that he was to be a man that rightly divided the word of truth. We pray, O God, for the anointing of thy spirit to be about this task of rightly bringing the word of God to God's people. And we pray, O God, thou would speak to each one here today. Thou art the one that knows each need, each heart, each spiritual state. And yet, Lord, thou art able by your spirit to take thine own truth and fit it to every life in that way that is appropriate for them. And so we pray, O God, thou wast just undertake for us. We look to thee for thy help. Do us good now. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The opening words of chapter 8 in the Song of Solomon bring before us the important subject of the Christian's fellowship with Christ. Last time we turned to this chapter, we noted verses 1 and 2 and considered five features of the Christian's fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Five features of Christian fellowship with the Savior. But today, as we turn again to this passage, I want us to continue with the same general theme of fellowship with Christ. The same general theme. The verses I want us to focus upon this afternoon are verses 3 and 4 here. Notice again what it says in these words. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up nor awake my love until he please. These words clearly bring before us the idea of the Christian living close to Christ. And that's what these words do. They bring before us the idea of the Christian living close to Christ. The young lady who represents the Christian in the Song of Solomon speaks here of how her beloved's left hand is under her head and his right hand embraces her. And so there is very much the thought and idea of closeness here. This young lady is near unto her beloved. In fact, she's so close to him, she's found in his embrace. He's holding her here. His left hand is under her head, and his right hand embraces her, is holding her. And so she's very close to her beloved. She's near to him. The point then that has been brought before us in these words is this is the place where the child of God should desire to live, close to their beloved, close to Christ, even found in his embrace. As we then consider these verses today, I want us to think on the vitally important subject of living close to Christ. The important subject of living close to Christ. It is important we understand there is not a more crucial or a more needful matter in the life of any Christian than living close to Christ. The Lord Jesus is the source and fount of all spiritual life and blessing. Without him, we can do nothing. Therefore, our spiritual health and welfare is very much connected to living close to him. We can only be truly successful in living the Christian life as we live close to our beloved. As we think of this passage, we can say we can only truly be successful in living the Christian life as we live in his very embrace, held by him. This truth is brought before us in another way in Psalm 1. Remember how Psalm 1 describes the blessed man. And of course, the blessed man speaks of that person who's not only happy, but also is prospering. They're growing spiritually, and they're rejoicing as Christians. They're rejoicing in the Christian life. They're blessed in their spiritual sense. Blessed, enjoying their Christian life. Yet as the psalmist describes the blessed man, he speaks of how he lives close to the source of life. For he says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The tree planted by the rivers of water lives close to the source of life. Even in time of drought, there is a constant supply of water and of life. And we can think of that tree that is planted there by the river, and the river runs past, and the tree is able to send its roots down and underneath the river and continually draw up nutrients and life and water from the river. It's living close to the source of life. Therefore, it is vibrant, it's evergreen, and it bears fruit in its season. It's the nature of such a tree. This is how the psalmist describes the blessed man. Lives close to the source of life. He lives close to Christ. And so as he continually fellowships with Christ, he grows spiritually. And he advances more and more in the things of God. He's a prospering Christian. He's an advancing Christian because he's living close to Christ, the fount of every blessing and the source of all life and godliness. The truth is, we are living close to Christ. We are living near to the one who is the fount and source of all spiritual health and happiness. Then all other issues that we might face in the Christian life can be dealt with without dread and without fear. And that's the truth. If we are living close to Christ, then we can face the problems and the challenges and the difficulties that come against us in the Christian life without dread or fear. Think of David as he went against Goliath. Goliath was a most fearsome enemy. Yet David could face Goliath with confidence. He could face the enemy without fear because he was living in the closest communion with his God. Remember what David said to Goliath as Goliath mocked and sneered at him. David said to Goliath, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. You see, David was living so close to God, and he was so aware of God's presence in his life, that even the most dreadful problem of facing Goliath, this huge giant, this great hulk of a man that was causing such fear in Israel, David could face this man because he was living close to his God. Living in communion with his God. All the rest of the people of Israel, of course, weren't. That's why they were fearful. But David knew his God. He was so conscious of God's presence. He could even deal with this most dreadful enemy of Goliath. This is the secret to a victorious and joyful Christian life. This is the secret. Living close to Christ, the one in whom all spiritual blessings are found. Indeed, in coming to these words today, in verses 3 and 4, we see here how the Holy Spirit, by means of repetition, emphasizes the great importance of living close to our beloved. You see, these words are words that we've already considered in our study of the Song of Solomon. In chapter 2, in verses 6 and 7, we have virtually the same words. And so we have already considered something of this subject. However, as the Holy Spirit again brings these words before us, what is he doing? He's emphasizing once more how important it is that we as Christ's people live close to our beloved. The Holy Spirit's bringing this to our attention again here, showing us this is crucial, this is important. That we don't walk afar off from our God, that we don't live out of fellowship with Christ, but that we live close to him. Yes, in his very embrace. As we then think on this subject of living close to Christ, there are three things I want us to consider in these verses, verses 3 and 4. Firstly, see here, the Christian that is living close to Christ is submissive to him. The Christian that is living close to Christ is submissive to him. See again the opening words of verse 3. His left hand should be under my head. Notice this young lady speaks of how her head is in the hand of her beloved. His left hand should be under my head. Or we could literally read these words, his left hand shall be under my head. Now a person's head is that part of their body which governs and rules them. We think and reason with our heads. We use our heads to make decisions. And so the head is the ruling element in a person's body. It is the nerve center that governs all that we do. Every movement that we make and all that we say can be rooted back to the control room of our heads, back to our brain. However, as this young lady speaks of her beloved, she says her head is in his hand. In other words, she is saying, my life is under the control of my beloved. It is in his hand. And that's what she's saying here. It is my beloved that rules me. It is my beloved that is the governing element in my life. It is he that I live in submission to, because my head is found in his hand. Therefore, he's the one that is ruling here. He's the one that is governing. Now, this is something that is always found in the life of the believer who is living close to Christ. Their head will be found in his hand. He will be the one who is ruling and reigning in their life. He will be the one they live in submission to. The truth is, the more submissive we are to Christ, the more submissive we are to him, then the closer will be our fellowship with him. The more we place our lives under his control, then the more we will enjoy his presence and nearness in our lives. We see this very clearly as we consider the history of the nation of Israel. When Israel, as a people, submitted to God, when they lived under his rule, when they obeyed him, when they placed, as it were, their head in his hand, then God made known his presence in a most powerful and blessed way amongst them. God dwelt with Israel. God blessed them. God gave them help to defeat their enemies. When they lived under God's rule, when they submitted to him, and that's what happened in the nation of Israel. Read the Old Testament. It is very, very clear. This is what happened in Israel. When they submitted to the Lord, when they lived under his rule, then God blessed them. He was amongst them. But when they rebelled against God, and when they refused to submit to his rule, then the Lord withdrew his grace and power from amongst them. And he even permitted their enemies to come in and rule over them. You see, it was living in submission to God that brought them close to the Lord. They knew God's presence in a unique way when they were submissive to him. The Christian that is living close to Christ will live in constant submission to him. Of course, living in submission to Christ involves a number of things. It involves relying on him. Think again of this picture that is before us in these words. This young lady is placing her head into the hand of her beloved. She's putting it there. And so she's really relying on him to support her. She's relying on him to hold up her head. There's very much a thought here of trust. As she submits to her beloved, she's trusting in him. Putting her head in his hand. Trusting him to watch over her. This is what happens as the Christian lives in submission to Christ. We rely on him. We place our lives into his almighty hand. Of course, this is what happens in salvation. In salvation, the sinner submits to Christ. They bow at his feet. They come to rely on him and rely on him alone for salvation. This is what it is to be saved. This is what it is to be converted. This is what takes place when a sinner repents and believes in Christ. This is what believing in Christ is all about. It's saying, listen, I cannot save myself. I don't have the ability to save myself. I'm a lost sinner and I'm perishing. But I'm placing my life into your hand. And I'm trusting in you as the savior of your people. I know that you lived, and I know that you died upon the cross, and I know you've made atonement for the sins of your people. Therefore, I'm believing in this work, and I'm believing in you, and I'm trusting in you, and I'm placing my life into your hand. Let me ask you today, have you ever done that? Have you ever, as it were, laid your head down upon the hand of Christ and said, listen, I'm trusting in you and you alone for salvation? That's what it is to be converted. Well, yes, you can know about Christ, you can know about his hand, but not unless you lay your head into his hand and say, listen, I'm trusting in you and I'm giving myself over to you completely to be my Savior. Then you're yet in your sin. You're yet in your sin. And so we see that in salvation, we put our head into the hand of Christ, to the hands of Christ. But even as we live in this world as God's people, we must continually rely on Christ. We must daily place our head in his hand on a daily basis. As we face the enemies of a sinful world and of Satan and of indwelling sin, the only way we can know victory is by relying on Christ. Submitting to him. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Think of those words. The name of the Lord, or we could say the Lord himself. He's a strong tower. And the righteous, his people, they run into him. And there they find safety. And of course, running into that strong tower of Christ, we are relying in that tower. We are relying in him. And you see, this is what we need to do in life. If we are to live close to Christ, there needs to be a fleeing to him and a hiding in him and relying on him for his help each and every single day. Oh, if you're hiding in Christ, before you even leave the house in the morning, you'll say, Lord, I need your help for this day. I cannot go to the workplace. I cannot face an ungodly world without you. And you flee into the tower. You rely on him. And that's how you live close to Christ, by this submitting to him. And so in submitting to Christ, there is this relying on him. But you also see here in submitting to Christ, there is a responding to him. This is perhaps the most important element in submitting to Christ. Responding to his voice, responding to his direction. The symbolism of what this young woman does as she places her head in the hand of her beloved is very important. It is important because what she reveals here is her thinking is under his direction. Her life is under his guidance. Whatever way his hand directs her, that is what she will do. You think of this young lady. Her head is in the hand of her beloved. There it rests. And you see, he can turn her head this way. And he can turn her head that way. And he can direct her thoughts. And he can direct her life. That's the symbolism here. That is the first. That is the picture the Holy Spirit paints. This is the attitude. This is the mindset of the believer who's living in submission to Christ. Their life is lived in response to his voice. It is his direction that shapes the way they think and live. This is the person who's living in submission to Christ. It is Christ's voice as he speaks in his word that shapes how they think, that shapes how they live. He's the governing element. And all the Christian is doing is responding to the one who rules. Responding to his hand as it directs. Christian, I want you to think about this today. Think about it very carefully. Is there this submission in your life to Christ? Is your life lived in response to Christ's direction? Now remember what we're considering here. What it is to live close to Christ. Live in close fellowship with him. Live near to him. But the only way we can is as we respond to his direction. Now is this true in your life? Is it true in your life in a personal sense? As an individual? Is it true in your family? Is it true in your work environment? Do you seek to implement God's word and live according to what God directs in his truth in every department of your life? Is your head in his hand? Are you responding to him? If this is not the case, then you're not living close to Christ. If the opposite is the case, you're walking afar off. In submitting to the Lord Jesus, there is a relying on him, there is a responding to him. We can also say here, there is a resting in him. By placing her head in the hand of her beloved, this young lady was resting in him. She was resting in his wisdom. She was resting in his strength. She knew how loving and powerful her beloved was, and so she rested her life in his hand. Because of this knowledge, because of how wonderful her beloved was, because of his strength and wisdom, there she rested in his hand. Again, this is another very important aspect in submitting to the Lord Jesus. The believer that is living in submission to Christ rests in the truth that their life is in his hand. And he is the one that is really in control. This is what enables the Christian to face difficult and testing times. Resting in the truth, their life is in Christ's hand. This is what enables us to face hard days and difficult days in the Christian life. There have been occasions in the past when some of God's people have become bitter in heart. They become bitter in heart. And they develop a murmuring and complaining spirit. This happened to the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness. Remember the children of Israel. As they traveled through the wilderness, it was a difficult road. It was a hard road with many challenges and many problems. And time again, these people failed to murmuring. They failed to complaining. You see, they failed to rest in their God. There was not this submitting to him and his providential workings in their lives. There wasn't this resting upon him, resting upon his hand, saying, listen, I know you're in control. Yes, the road is difficult. I cannot explain it. It's hard. But I know your hand is under my head, and therefore you're controlling all things. And I'm submitting to that reality. Recently I heard of a man I used to do work for. It was quite sad to hear of him. This man I did work for, I did work many years for him, and he went to one of our churches. And he went there with his sister every Lord's Day. And I'd done quite a bit of work for him over a number of years. And I always just believed he was a Christian. He went to one of the free churches. And he spoke about the things of God. He spoke about his minister. And I just assumed, wrongly, that he was a believer. But after doing work for him for a couple of years, I was out one day at his home servicing his boiler. And he was chatting away beside me. And he said, listen, I have some good news for you. I've got saved. And I was shocked because I thought he was a believer. And I was so glad. I says, listen, I am so glad to hear this. I'm so glad this is the case. And he was rejoicing. He was in God's house. He was in the prayer meeting. He was really rejoicing that he was saved. And the Lord had worked in his heart. But just a short time ago, I was speaking to his minister. And he asked about him. And I said, what about such and such a person? And he said, well, things have not turned out well for him. He put his house up for sale. He wanted to sell his home where he was living and move somewhere else. And he had set his heart upon this. This is what he wanted to do. Put his house up for sale, and no one came to see it. No one was interested in it. And this went on for a period of time. And then he started to grow bitter. Blamed the Lord. He wanted to move. No one was going to buy his house. And he started to miss the house of God, and he grew bitter in heart and in soul. That's what happened. And today he is not attending the house of God. You see, there wasn't this submissive resting in Christ's hand. That was the problem. Obviously, it wasn't God's will for him to move home. But he couldn't accept this. He wanted something else. So he wasn't resting his head upon Christ's hand. Christian, when the trial comes, And it's only a matter of time if it hasn't already come. When the trial comes in your life, when the road gets hard and difficult, and you cannot understand what is happening to you or what has happened to your family or around you, it is submitting to Christ and to the workings of His all-wise hand that will keep you close to Him. That's what will keep you close to Him, even when things are falling apart for you. And so we see here the Christian that is living close to Christ is submissive to Him, relying on Him, responding to Him, even resting in Him. But then secondly, notice with me today, the Christian that is living close to Christ is strengthened by Him. Strengthened by Him. See, the second half of verse 3, His left hand should be under my head, and His right hand should embrace me. Here this young lady speaks of how the right hand of her beloved embraces her. It is His right hand that is around her, supporting her. The right hand in God's word is very significant. And the reason why it is significant is because the right hand is symbolic of power. It always speaks to us of power and strength. For example, the psalmist speaks in Psalm 18 in the verse 35 of how the right hand is strong to support. He says, "Thy right hand hath holden me up." And so the psalmist is speaking of how God's right hand is able to support him. It holds him up. Then we read in Psalm 91 and verse 7, how the right hand is strong to subdue. It says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. The right hand, 10,000 falling at it. And it speaks about strength to subdue. Then in Psalm 16 verse 11, it sets before us how the right hand is strong to satisfy. Thy presence is fullness of joy, and the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Strong to satisfy. And so the right hand is a great symbol of strength and power in Scripture. And it very often points us to the omnipotent power of God. That's what it reminds us of. God's almighty and His omnipotent power. As we then read here in the Song of Solomon, of how this young lady is embraced by the right hand of her beloved, we've been shown that as she lives close to Him, as she's held up by Him, she is greatly strengthened and helped through Him. His right hand is around her, supporting her. Now this is something that always happens as the Christian lives close to Christ. They are strengthened by Him, and they are strengthened through Him. This is what happens. The believer who's strong in the Lord is the believer who is living close to Christ. I've often referred to John 15 in our study of the Song of Solomon. And really these two passages, the Song of Solomon and John 15, where it speaks about the vine and the branches, are really bringing before us the same truth and the same subject. As the branches united to the vine, it is strong, it is full of vitality, it is healthy. So it is for the Christian living close to Christ. There is vigor, there is strength. And living close to Christ and being strengthened by Him, the Christian will be empowered to live in a certain way. Will be empowered to live after a certain manner. They will be enabled to live a life of contentment in this world. As we live close to Christ and are strengthened by Him, we will then be enabled to live in a world of sin, a life of contentment. Turn with me to the New Testament for a moment. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Notice here in this passage, Paul is talking of how he is able to live in a state of godly contentment. He speaks of this here in these words. Philippians 4 verse 11. Notice what it says. Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein or therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And so Paul is speaking here of how he lives in a state of contentment, of godly contentment. And remember Paul at this point, where was he? He was in prison. He was incarcerated. He was in chains. Nevertheless, he possessed a blessed contentment Why was this the case? Well, verse 13 tells us. Paul says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, notice these words, which strengtheneth me. Paul could live in a state of contentment because of the enabling strength of Christ in his life. He lived close to Christ. Therefore, he was enabled to do all things, even live in a miserable state, humanly speaking, with contentment. With contentment. Godly contentment. Here is the secret of being able to live the Christian life in a state of contentment. Being daily strengthened through Christ. Living close to him. And being strengthened by him. This is what Christ told the woman at the well. He said to her, you drink of the water that I give you. You'll never thirst again. And of course, he wasn't speaking about physical thirst. But he was speaking to her how he would give to her, bestow upon her, a contentment. If you drink of the water that I give, if you nourish your soul upon me, refresh yourself in me, then you will find contentment. You will find satisfaction. Perhaps, child of God, there is a discontentment in your heart and in your life. Even as you're found in God's house today, there is discontentment. You're not happy. And you look at this thing and that thing, and these things are all surrounding you, these problems in life, and even the spiritual state of our nation and our land. And there is a discontentment. You know what the answer is? It's not having more of this world. That's how often people think. That's very often the way people think. Even Christians. Well, you know, if I had this, or if I had that, or if I had the other thing, then I would be content. And my life would have some sort of fulfillment and joy and meaning. Let me tell you, Christian, it's not more of the world you need for contentment. It's more of Christ you need for contentment. He's the one who satisfies. He's the one that gives living water that enables us not to thirst. You see, it's living close to Christ that strengthens us, that enables us to live a life of contentment in this world. But also living close to Christ, and through his strength, we're not only enabled to live a life of contentment, we're also able to live a life of conquering in this world. Listen to what Paul told God's people in Ephesus and Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It is only as we are strong in the Lord and live in the power of his might that we can resist Satan and the powers of darkness. It is only with the right arm of Christ firmly around us and upholding us that we will not stumble and we will not fall. This is something we need to keep continually before us as we live in this world. The only way we can live in victory. Victory over sin's temptation and over Satan's traps is by living close to our beloved and knowing his power and his help. Perhaps it is the case today that you're battling with some particular sin. There is sin in your life and it's a difficulty. It's a problem. It's the snare that gets you every time. And though you've often determined, well, you know, I'll not return to that same sin. I hate it. Yet again and again, it gets you. But the answer is fleeing to Christ. The answer is getting closer to your beloved. The answer is placing yourself more and more into his embrace. Into his arms. That's the answer. Closeness to Christ. The Christian that is living close to Christ is strengthened by him. Is submissive to him. One last thing, notice with me very quickly. The Christian that is living close to Christ is sensitive to him. Sensitive to him. We see this in verse 4 in the 8th chapter here in the Song of Solomon. I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he please. This young lady now gives a very serious charge to her companions that they do nothing that will disturb or upset her beloved. She does not want her beloved to be offended. She does not want him to be grieved. She is very much sensitive to him, you see. Don't annoy him. Don't grieve him. Don't disturb him. She was sensitive to her beloved. Therefore, she was unable to live close to him. So it will be in the heart and life of the Christian that is living close to Christ. They will possess a holy sensitivity towards the Lord Jesus. Christians that are living in close fellowship with their beloved, they're not careless. They're not light-hearted about the things of God. Instead, they will be serious about these things. These matters will be serious matters. Matters that are important to them. We live in an age where there is great flippancy and irreverence in regard to the things of God. We see it all around us. Again, this week, in knocking the doors, there are those who are just so careless and so flippant when they come into contact with the gospel. Dismiss it. Take it away. I'm not interested. You know, sadly, this is something which is also found within the professing church. How many there are that profess to be Christ's, yet they're careless. Yet they're flippant about spiritual matters. They're careless in their worship. Careless in their attendance in worship. They just carelessly ignore the house of God. And go on and dismiss the reality that the Christ has commanded them to be there. They do it carelessly. They're carelessly also in their activity in worship. They will come to God's house not prepared to worship the King of Glory, not prepared to meet the King. But they come really as a social thing. Careless about worship. There are, of course, those that are careless in their walk. They don't walk circumspectly. They don't walk reverently, acknowledging that as God's people, they have a duty to obey God's word. No, they're careless and flippant, and they do as they please. And of course, there are many who are careless in their words, speaking words that are unholy and unwise. Ah, but this will not be the case. There's a living close to Christ. This will not be the case. There will be a sensitivity. A desire not to do anything that is grieving and offensive to him. Let me then put it to each one today. Are you living close to Christ? Are you living close to your beloved? Here we are at the commencement of another gospel mission. What is it we need more than anything else here at this time? We need to ensure that we're living close to Christ. We need to ensure that we are submissive to him. We need to ensure that we're being strengthened by him. And yes, we need to ensure that we're sensitive to him. Walking circumspectly. I trust that each one of us today before God will search our hearts. And as we are walking afar off, we will flee to our beloved today. And we will live in fellowship with him. God bless these thoughts to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen.